It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's in. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship. It is Tuesday, and we're so happy to be back with you, and I'm just so grateful for the saints having a prayer and testimony time. Just to give you all a little quick update, we had to speak in California, and we were in the eye of the storm. And so in the eye of the storm, we had to get out before the storm came because our flights on Sunday morning were to be canceled. And so we had to take a red-eye flight on Saturday night, so our bodies were just totally thrown off pretty much. You know, if you get on the plane at 11:30 our time, it's like 2:30 in the morning. And so we had a long flight there. And because of the California situation, I had turned my alarms off also, and so I overslept. So I apologize for that, but I'm so grateful that you all had a good time in the Lord. All right, it is time now to have our opening prayer. My wife, undreamed of, will bring us to the throne of grace at this time.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together and to have worship. We thank you for your loving watch care throughout the night. And now as we open up your word, we pray that your spirit will come and teach us the things we need to know as you anoint the words of our pastor, fill him with your spirit. And help us, Lord, always to grow in grace and wisdom as we draw close to you. These things are asked and prayed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is "It's About Time for the Coming of Christ."
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time for Christian. It's about time for the coming.
down, brothers and sisters, and we are now about to have our worship thought. We are in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 8, our high priest in Hebrews chapter 8. Let's pray. Dear Father, as we study the Word of God, we pray for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for bringing us back together in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our great high priest in Hebrews chapter 8. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. So my brothers and sisters, God is trying to tell us that there is a sanctuary tabernacle, a tabernacle in heaven, and Jesus is the minister of that tabernacle, not the one on earth because it doesn't exist anymore. And even the temples that came and replaced that tabernacle, Jesus is ministering in heaven. That's important because therefore when you see the Bible speak in the Old Testament, because we're going to go back there at a later time, and it said you have to make this after the pattern shown you in the mount. That pattern of the heavenly sanctuary is a earthly replica of what's in heaven, okay? That's what God is trying to help us understand. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. Did you catch that? When the priests are doing what priests do, at that time in the Bible, when they were doing what the priests did, God was trying to tell them that all those sacrifices and the priests going into the holy place and the most holy place, that served as an example and a shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished to God, of God, when he was about to make the tabernacle, see, he saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern shown to thee in the mount. So I want to make sure everybody on the line understands the tabernacle, which had a holy place and a most holy place, is a earthly model of the holy place and most holy place in heaven. That's important. Now, the holy place had a table of showbread, which represents studying the Word of God. It had an altar of incense, which represents daily and throughout the day prayer, or prayer throughout the day. And then it had a golden candlestick, which represents service and ministry, letting your light so shine. And then there was a veil, and that separated the holy from the most holy. And in the most holy place was the Ark of the Covenant. That was actually God's throne. And it had a mercy seat. So God sits on a mercy seat. That's beautiful because inside of the Ark of the Covenant, which is God's throne, is the law. And we broke it. So separating a broken law from the divine presence of God, which is a consuming fire, is a mercy seat. You see, that's so beautiful. Even the representation of it, the symbolism of it, was to teach us the plan of redemption. God sits on mercy, and that mercy covers the justice because the law down below was broken by human beings. And so, friends, God is merciful. It says, but now he hath obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much more also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was a established upon better promises. Now, a lot of people try to do away with the Sabbath, okay? That's the bottom line. It's going to just go right there. And so because they want to do away with the Sabbath, they have to find a reason to do away with the Sabbath. So what they do is try to tell you that the Sabbath was part of the old covenant. But what they have to do that is they have to lump the whole Ten Commandments as part of the old covenant. And that's a problem because they teach godly morality in their churches. They teach that it's wrong to sleep with people that aren't your husband, heterosexual husband and wife. I know some churches will go and say, you know, homosexuality is all right, but that's not biblical. And those churches, I can't tell you, I don't know whether they're the majority or the minority these days, but I can tell you that they don't teach that you should steal and you should kill and you should lie. But they just say, well, you know, the Sabbath was done away with at the cross. We're not under the old covenant anymore, so on and so forth. That is a lie, brothers and sisters, because if you do away with one, you've got to do away with them all. Therefore, you don't really have an argument to a murderer, to a rapist, to a whatever. They should go to heaven just like you, even without repentance. Because remember, if you say the law was done away with at the cross, you see, so that's why I follow Jesus in a way where I'm consistent. You know, when you are off in your walk will be inconsistent. And so everybody who claims we don't have to keep the Sabbath, then we can lie and we can steal and we can, you know, no, we don't have to do that. And they try to find, well, examples maybe in the New Testament where it says you shouldn't lie. So they're saying the New Covenant would teach that you shouldn't lie. But that's not what this is talking about. The bottom line is this is saying the Old Covenant was not based on the best promises, but the New Covenant was. The New Covenant, brothers and sisters, is God's promise to save us. We have to cooperate with that. But we don't have to, as part of the covenant, make any bold statements. So what the children of Israel did is they added, God didn't ask them to just say anything. But at that moment that he gave his law, they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do and be obedient. So because they had made that commitment and blood was spilled, that was a separate covenant. Okay? But the new covenant was the original one given to Abraham. And that's why Abraham believed God, even in the New Testament, it says, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Okay? So it's a false teaching that the Sabbath is done away with just because the old covenant is done away with. The old covenant was the agreement that between God and man, that man in his own strength would keep God's law. Man can't do that. And so God, that was broken. But God says he's going to put a new covenant within us. It is, doesn't do away with obeying the Ten Commandments, friends. And that's what is a lie that's being told. Notice that it was established upon better promises. So you're trying to say the promises of God weren't good back then? Name a single promise of God that was bad. Name one. No, none were wrong. The promises that were broken were the promises of the children of Israel. Notice what it says. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. Does God make something faulty, friend? Watch this. For finding fault with them. Didn't say finding fault with the Sabbath, finding fault with his law. It says finding fault with them. Verse 8. He says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them out of the hand, took them by the hand, to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant. And I regarded them not, said the Lord. So I want you to really follow this. God is saying, this is not according to the covenant that I made with them when I brought them out of Egypt. Why? Because they didn't continue in it. So what if they had continued in it? What would have happened? It says, it's not according to that one because they continued not in it. So what I'm saying, brothers and sisters, is that's proof that it wasn't God's fault. It was no problem with God's law. The problem was they didn't keep it. So by promising to keep it, they had a separate agreement. God does want us to keep his law. But when God promises, he didn't ask for a comment at that time. He just said, I'm going to save you. I'm going to save you. And they said, okay, everything you ask us to do to the minute letter, we're going to do. They responded and created a new covenant. Verse 10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. So this is how people twist this. They say, you don't have to keep the Sabbath. It's just written in your heart. Okay. I don't have to be faithful to my wife. I just need to love her in my heart. Now, what does that sound like? I don't have to, it's okay to rob a bank. I just need to love the teller, the bank teller in my heart. Even if I point a gun at her, it doesn't matter as long as I love her in my heart. Brothers and sisters, whatever happens in your heart is what's going to happen in your life. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, the Bible says. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. The Bible says. And so God is promising to help us to be obedient and it be a heart work. A lot of times people are obedient out of fear. Okay, we're obedient because we don't want to be left out of the club, and so we'll do some things, but it's not in our heart. You need to serve God in your heart. That's what's wrong with the church today, brothers and sisters. The church isn't often serving God from the heart. And so when you see administrators, you know, a lot of these ministers, they see what's going on, the public pressure to get involved with the LGBT, and you see their hospitals and schools accept government money, and so they don't want to do away with that. So they have ways that they, you know, try to compromise. But I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, when you obey from the heart, you don't compromise. Come what may, whatever happens, whatever I have to lose, it's in my heart. And I believe that God requires that. And so a lot of people won't, they don't have, a lot of people are in modern medicine, not because it's in their heart, but because they like the money. And that's why it's hard for them to take a stand for the morality and for the health of the people because they would lose their jobs. And I'm telling you, I have colleagues, when I say colleagues, I'm talking about colleagues in a freedom movement. I'm not a medical doctor. In a freedom movement, and they're losing their jobs. I'm talking about men and women who have said no to this false science that makes a, you know, lies about the origin of a particular pandemic and pushes a single narrative, even though that narrative was proven in the data trials to be toxic and kill people. They lied and said it didn't. But my point is, these doctors have said we can't lie to the people like that, and many of them are losing their jobs. I'm talking about when you serve God from your heart, brothers and sisters, you don't make up excuses. You do what is right because it is right, and you leave the consequences with God. But you can't do that in your own strength. God needs your heart. When God has your heart, you will make any sacrifice for him. And that's what's wrong with the church today. We don't have enough people converted from the heart, okay? That's why you see all the mess going on in the church, because people aren't converted from the heart. When you give your heart to God, there is a change that takes place. And, you know, we can't explain the change. That's why Jesus talked about it in John 3. He said the wind blows where it listed. That means it blows anywhere it goes, wherever it goes. We hear the sound. We see the trees blowing, but we can't tell where the wind came from. So it's also he that is born of the Spirit. So brothers and sisters, you need that miracle in your heart. If you're having a hard time serving God, a hard time surrendering, you need that miracle to take place in your heart to say, Lord, just take my heart, and he will do it. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Don't you want God's law written in your heart? I sure do. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. You see, when God does this heart change, it affects everybody. You won't be leaning on the preacher for your religious walk. You know, I just praise God, because when we weren't on yesterday, the saints got on and they prayed and testified. That's what I'm talking about, friends. We need to have our own walk with God. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins, and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith the new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and wax old is ready to vanish away. So, friends, we're going to stop right there. The bottom line is God's new covenant is placed in our heart. It doesn't do away with obedience any more than if I tell my wife I love her from the heart, and then I am not, and I'm abusing her, okay, with my hands, with my mouth, but I still say I love her in my heart. You see what I'm saying? That doesn't make any sense. When God puts his law in our heart, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we need to ask the Lord to put the love of God, because it's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, according to Romans 5:5. May God bless you and keep you. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this worship thought. We pray for the Spirit of the living God to fall afresh upon us As we are on this Tuesday choosing to serve you with all of our heart, we ask that your name be glorified in our lives. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, friends, we're going to take a break, and then we'll be back. When I come back, we'll hear from Sister Donna. I didn't have at the time her title, so I'll have to amend the title on Facebook. But the title basically talks about a little more time. Don't miss out on the training school. So I do want to tell you that those who are taking this class, you will get a it really amounts to a free $200-plus textbook because we have the textbook. It is being mailed out this week by God's grace, and so all the registered students do expect that in short order. The textbook, I say, is free because the class, which is $650, and, of course, payments can be made to pay that off. You know, the textbook is like a bonus. The course itself is worth double of what the cost is, friends, and the textbook will help you learn in a fraction of the time. So we just want to encourage you. There is, if you count today, we have three more days. We're going to cut it off on Thursday. So anybody that's interested, we need to have all the registered students on Thursday. We keep the Sabbath, and we want to be preparing for the Sabbath on Preparation Day. We want to be ripping and running and signing up students and all of that on Friday, my friends. So Sunday, 10 to 12, those of you who did, definitely go. Make sure that when you filled out, you gave your email address. We're going to email you all the private credentials for the students so that you all can get in to the course, okay? It will be a Zoom course, but it's for the students, only registered students at that time. All right, God bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. And by the way, that will not be our traditional Zoom credentials. It will not be the regular Zoom credentials, okay? So that's why I'm saying what I'm saying. May God bless you. We will be back in a little while. We are now going to have the torso song. And after that, we'll be coming back and we'll hear Sister Donna share with us. Let me give you her title. She's going to be sharing with us on the subject, an impoverished diet. All right, the torso song.
There's a one-of-a-kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom. you're bound to diseases, the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered, and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. So when you indulge and you run from the scale, the battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain, your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
And we'll now hear from Donna Reed on the subject, an impoverished diet. Sister Donna.
Good morning, everyone. This reading today comes from Downs Counselors on Diet and Food. And for any further reading, you might want to go into the Ministry of Healing, pages 325. An impoverished diet. I have spoken of the importance of the quantity and quality of food being in strict accordance with the laws of health. But we would not recommend an impoverished diet. I've been shown that many take a wrong view of the health reform and adopt too poor a diet. They subsist upon a cheap, poor quality of food prepared without care or reference to the nourishment of the system. It is important that the food should be prepared with care, that the appetite, when not perverted, can relish it. Because we from principle discard the use of meat, butter, mince pies, spices, lard, and that which irritates the stomach and destroys health, the idea should never be given that it is of but little consequence what we eat. There are some who go to extremes. They must eat just such an amount and just such a quality and confine themselves to two or three things. They allow only a few things to be placed before them or their families to eat. In eating a small amount of food, and that not of the best quality, they do not take into the stomach that which will suitably nourish their system. Poor food cannot be converted into good blood. An impoverished diet will impoverish the blood. Two classes were presented. First, those who were not living up to the light which God had given them. There are many of you who profess the truth, who have received it because somebody else did it, and for your life you could not give the reason. This is why you are weak as water. Instead of weighing your motives in the light of eternity, instead of having a practical knowledge of the principles underlying all your actions, instead of having dug down to the bottom and built upon a right foundation for yourself, you are walking in the sparks kindled by somebody else, and you will fail in this as you have failed in the health reform. Now, if you had moved from principle, you would not have done this. Some cannot be impressed with the necessity of eating and drinking to the glory of God. The indulgence of appetite affects them in all the relations of life. It is seen in their family, in their church, in the prayer meeting, and in the conduct of their children. It has been the curse of their law. You cannot make them understand the truth for these last days. God has bountifully provided for the sustenance and happiness of all his creatures. And if his laws were never violated and all acted in harmony with the divine will, health, peace, and happiness instead of misery and continual evil would be experienced. Another class who have taken hold of the health reform are very severe. They take a position and stand stubbornly in that position and carry nearly everything over the mark. Flesh meat will depreciate the blood. Cook meat with spices and eat it with rich cakes and pies, and you have a bad quality of blood. The system is too heavily taxed in disposing of this kind of food. The mince pies and the pickles, which should never find a place in any human stomach, will give a miserable quality of blood. And a poor quality of food, cooked in an improper manner and insufficient in quantity, cannot make good blood. Flesh meat and rich food and an impoverished diet will produce the same result. Now, in summary of this reading, number one, you are what you eat. Number two, You should build upon principle, even your diet. And number three, when you hear about it, research it. Research it by using God's word, and then you will have a better, stronger, and richer foundation upon which to build your diet. Thank you, everyone, and have an awesome day.
Thank you, sister. God bless. God bless you. All right, friends. We are going to just go ahead and type in. There is a website that the way you don't have, you can get it from our website, but I'm typing in creatorsrx.com. Those who have not registered, please do so. We need to make sure we have your name, your name and your email address. And those who are registered students, unless you've made some arrangement, you should have made your first payment. Sister Don, I'm going to ask you to just hit the mute on your phone, and then that way I'm not going to mute you. That way if anybody asks a question that you want to answer, you can do it. There's a little feedback, if you don't mind.
Okay. All right. Done.
Yeah. No, you just, thank you so much. All right. Roll call. On Facebook, we have South Carolina. We have North Carolina. My dear brother, I am so sorry. Brother Peyton, I know I've missed a call or two, and it's just been kind of crazy lately with getting ready for the school. But it's so good to see you. We've got Virginia on the line, and Virginia again, and I'm not sure where Brother William is from. On the call, we have North Carolina, we have Maryland, we have Alabama, we have Pennsylvania, we have Maryland, we have Delaware, and Delaware again. We have, I believe that's going to be Michigan and New Jersey, and we have Oklahoma, and we have Ohio again, we have Iowa, we have Oklahoma again, we have Michigan again, and Georgia. So thank you one and all for coming and joining us, and we're glad. We were over the weekend traveling during at least scheduled to travel during at least two of the broadcasts. That's why we just canceled for the weekend. It ended up being that we were actually traveling, but on a different flight. You know, the hurricane that was coming through there, we had to, after we finished ministering, leave early and fly out on a red eye. And so our bodies weren't adjusted, and neither were our phone and alarms adjusted back to this time. So we missed yesterday's broadcast. Well, we're so happy that many of you got on and had a wonderful time, I understand, in prayer and testimony. If anyone has any comment or question, please feel free to press *6. If you have it on Facebook, just comment. I did type creatorsrx.com. That is a ministry that invited us to do this class, and they have the registration sheets and everything, forms and survey on their website. They want you to fill out a survey, which basically tells more about your situation and your payment methods and everything, so it's all organized. But nonetheless, we are very grateful for this opportunity to do the school. And so those of you who have registered, you should be getting very soon your textbook. And I believe you'll be pleased with what you see. Keep us in prayer. It's a lot of work. And yet, it's needed to prepare an army of workers who can learn quickly these wonderful methods of healing to be able to help their neighbors and friends and relatives. So God bless each one of you. If there is anyone who has a comment or question, please press *6. And on Facebook, type any comment or question that you have. All right, then. Well, God bless each one, and may he keep you in his loving care. At this time, I'd ask my wife if she would have our closing prayer at this time.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for your word, and we pray, Lord, that your spirit will continue to teach us the things we need to know. We pray that everyone on this line would be blessed in a special way as we all continue to go about working for you as we do service. And we ask, Lord, that your spirit will continue to lead, guide, and direct and instruct us. And we do pray for special healings to be granted to all for spiritual, mental, physical. And we also, Lord, ask for financial blessings to be granted, especially for those in need. And we ask that we would do our part in always serving you faithfully. For this is asked and prayed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold. Now it's time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now and dreamed of. God bless you.
Amen. Our closing song is I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die.
I will love.